today on Compassion Radio.
And he asked me, like, why do you do that? What has led you to do that with your life? And my answer for him simply was, it's Jesus. That's the reason I do what I do, because he's called me to that, and because that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. Abandonment of infants in South Africa is, unfortunately, a common occurrence. Many of these children are left to die or simply abandoned in dust bins, open fields, or public toilets. Well, in 1999, the Berea Baptist Mission Church said, something needs to be done. Under the leadership of Pastor Cheryl Allen, the church made a hole in their wall and a baby box was installed, allowing for mothers to leave their babies anytime, day or night, for the church to take care of them. Now, the moment a baby is placed, care workers on duty receive an electronic signal alerting them. The baby is taken in and the anonymity of the donor ensured. This ministry is called Door of Hope. I'm Frank Montenegro. Today, Bram brings us part two of a conversation with Richard Allen of Door of Hope Ministries. Here's Bram to get things started.
Yesterday on Compassion Radio, we got a very brief introduction to the work of Door of Hope again, and meeting the new president, director of Door of Hope, which is Richard Allen. Welcome back today, my friend.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you.
I want to pick up a story exactly where we left off yesterday. We talked about the church responding to a need, and not just any need, a crucial need for the lives and the souls, the very future of a nation of South Africa, in the babies that are being born to the women of that country, at a time, especially when things were so desperate. And I know there's plenty of desperation now, but it was new to you at the time to understand the scope of this problem. But just tell me again, how did the church discover the problem of abandoned babies in their neighborhood? And what did your mother, as the pastor of Berean Baptist Church, do to inspire new action in the power of the gospel? Because she asked some really important questions that not many people would be willing to ask.
Yes, so as I mentioned in our previous program, the church was really in a space of saying, how can we reach out to our local community and be the salt and light to them? And as they were praying into the space and looking to see where they could fill a gap, as it were, and reach out, they discovered children that were being abandoned. And so there was one story of a child that had been abandoned on a bridge, left out in a trash can, and had passed away from exposure. There was another child, one of the church leaders had heard about in the apartment building, that had been abandoned and left to die. And so as they heard about these stories, they went out on a quest to discover how big of a problem is this in the inner city of Johannesburg. And so as they did that, they were told that about 50 babies were being abandoned every single month in Johannesburg.
Every month. In one city. I mean, try to imagine the city. Its population now is probably similar to like a Houston or a Los Angeles. But as a central business district goes, it's like any major American city. But imagine reaching out maybe 2 miles from where you live, and there being dozens of children that weren't just being abused, but were literally being left in trash cans. We're talking babies here. Yeah. Babies that are not even weaned yet.
And what you have to recognize with that as well is that those are only the babies that we know of.
Yes.
So the reality is probably there's a whole lot more than that that we are unaware of and that are being unaccounted for.
And I want to make sure we make it very clear that this is not about judging the mothers for actions of desperation.
Yeah.
Because as we talked about earlier, many of them are drug addicted. Many of them are sexually trafficked. They're forced into prostitution. They have nobody to turn to. It is not because the vast majority of women hate their children. They see themselves as already dead. So the dead do dead things.
And I think it's very difficult, unless you've been in that space, to really comprehend the desperation that these moms can get to. And we've even seen that with some of the children that have come to us, where a mother might place a child inside the baby box, which we'll tell you about, I'm sure, as we go on. But they would leave a note with that child saying, I love you, my child. And they would leave maybe a teddy bear and some clothing that they have. And that just gives you a picture that these moms, a lot of them, not all of them, But a lot of them love their child so much that they are willing to give the child up because they see that as the only hope for their child to have a better life. And that's really what we've got to remember and recognize and sometimes even applaud with these mothers, that they have the courage to do that.
Now let's talk about the solution, because I mourn for the mothers who didn't have that solution before Door of Hope began, because if they knew it was there, they would have left those notes and those teddy bears. Friends, it's really to our shame that we as a church have ignored it so long. I just want to say thank you for your family's courage and for the courage of Berean Baptist Church to get serious about something that God cares about.
Yeah,
we're talking about biblical issues. I mean, child abandonment is mentioned in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's dealt with by Jesus himself, and God cares about those who are lost. But he also cares about the mothers who are hopeless. So the answer was not just a place for the baby, but hope for the child.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime when it's convenient for you just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And go ahead and take a look at all the other great resources at CompassionRadio.com.
Friends, since 1999, Compassion Radio and its partners, that means you, have been doing something extraordinary. We've reached out in very practical ways to save the lives of abandoned babies in South Africa. Now, there are orphanages all over the world. Why this one? Well, because of a singularly amazing family and a marvelous transformational idea. And the idea was this: make it easier to save a life than to waste a life. Well, on the surface, that sounds like a ridiculous mission statement, but consider this. At the end of the 20th century, at the height of the AIDS crisis in South Africa, dozens of babies were being abandoned by mothers with no hope each and every month. Being infected and outcast, often addicted to drugs and unable to afford to care for their newborn, and facing arrest if they tried to give up their babies to authorities, the desperate took desperate measures. They were convinced their babies would die anyway. Until, that is, the Berea Baptist Church and the Allen family made that radical statement and did something about the crisis. Since the day they cut a hole in their church wall and put an incubator in it, they've rescued thousands of infants from certain death. No longer would a hopeless mother have to add murder to her burden of guilt. You, friends, had compassion on both mother and child through your generous giving. I'm asking you again for it now. The reason is obvious. There's still a need. And the work of Door of Hope keeps getting better. The new Hope Village is under construction, and when it's done, hundreds of kids not adopted will be raised in family groups in a nurturing community with its own playgrounds, church, elementary, and trade schools. Door of Hope showed us how to save a life once. Now they're showing us how to save lives time and time again, and as a result, saving generations. Will you give generously this year? It's our 20th anniversary of this project. And here's the best part. One of our generous Compassion Radio partners is providing a special matching challenge grant. If you give, they will match your gift, but only during the current month. $4,000 has been set aside for this special matching grant for the month of February. I'm asking you to make sure that every dime of that challenge grant is at least doubled or multiplied many times over. So give today. Here are four ways you can do just that. Call 1-800-868-2478 or go online to CompassionRadio.com right now to make your gift. Or send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And lastly, and maybe best of all, you can donate in under a minute by simply texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you, friends, for helping Door of Hope save a whole new generation of precious children with your generous gift today.
Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
So the answer was not just a place for the baby, but hope for the child. Okay. In other words, The Door of Hope has become a place where, first of all, a mother gains hope for her child. So tell me about the specific solution that God laid on the heart of Cheryl and the Berean Baptist Church.
So as they were praying about this, really the big idea was to say, listen, can we make it an option for mothers to say, rather than abandoning your child somewhere unsafe where they could very likely die, would you bring your child to the church and the church will look after your child? Let's give those children a chance at life. Let's give them a chance of a hope and a future, and the church can provide that for them.
That seemed like a very reasonable appeal. I mean, you're saying to everybody in the community, you're safe here.
Yeah.
But you're also saying you got to cross that threshold to come all the way down to the altar in the midst of all of these religious icons or whatever they think might be inside of a church, a place that maybe these mothers have never, ever been.
Yes.
That's a tough sell.
Yeah. And but I think, as we've seen, there's a lot of moms that have recognized the option that is being made available to them, and somehow they are able to find themselves in a place of trusting the church. Mm-hmm. And we also try and honor that, because we believe they've made a deliberate choice to bring those children to the church to be taken care of.
But you also had addressed the issue of their fear of prosecution. If they were going to, quote unquote, abandon their child, even to a church, they might be caught. They might be punished. Yes. And so they might be afraid to do it. So you address that fear as well. How?
Yes. And I mean, that's, to be honest, it's still something we're actually struggling with, the whole prosecution thing, because that's still an issue in South Africa.
Yeah.
But at the time, as we were thinking through this and Cheryl and the leadership were praying about it, they really felt God giving them an idea, a solution to the problem. And the problem being that moms wanted to stay anonymous.
Yes.
And that was a lot of the reason they were abandoning their children in these isolated places.
Yeah.
Also, there was a lot of shame that would be attached to it. And so there was this desire to stay anonymous and not have anyone know what was going on. A lot of them even had, you know, concealed pregnancies. Mm. And so they had to find a solution of saying to mothers, you can bring your child to us to make sure that that child is in a safe place. And nobody has to know about it. So if you want to stay anonymous, obviously, if you don't have an issue with that, you can bring the child to us. And many mothers subsequently have done that, where they've literally knocked on our door and we can counsel with them and speak into their lives.
And what a privilege to actually get to know the person behind the baby.
Yeah.
And you have a chance at a double redemption here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And we've journeyed with some of those mothers, which has really been great. Yeah. But for those mothers who really feel that shame, perhaps, or are really just in a space where they're wanting to stay anonymous, the solution that we believe God gave to Cheryl and the leadership at that time was to say, let's put, I mean, this sounds crazy and it sounded crazy at the time, was let's put a steel bin inside our church wall or steel box.
Yeah.
And say to mothers, you can come and place your child inside this steel box. And nobody has to know that you've done it. You can walk away, but you know that that child is in a safe place. And so the baby box, obviously, from a practical perspective, we had to figure out how was this going to work.
Yeah.
And so initially, it's kind of evolved over the years, but initially there was a pressure pad that was put at the bottom. So as soon as anything was placed inside that baby box, an alarm would go off inside the house, and a care worker could immediately come outside and fetch that child.
From the other side of the box.
From the other side of the box. Obviously, there's safety issues that you have to account for, but there's an open flap that's available to mothers anytime, day or night, they could come. There's an alarm system, so as soon as the child is placed in, that could go through and a care worker could come fetch
the child. You walk up to the wall of the church, because that part of South Africa is usually surrounded by courtyard walls, in that courtyard wall, which is kind of a thick, deep, almost like a stucco or adobe-style wall, would be mounted what looks like kind of like an oven door.
That's it.
You lift it by the hand, it pivots up, and the baby's placed inside.
That's it.
And then it's closed so that it's weatherized enough to protect the baby from the elements right away.
Yes.
So,
and unfortunately, I mean, some people have asked us about that. We can't put blankets and all that in it because, unfortunately, they would get stolen.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that those children are literally fetched within the space of a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
So there's no chance of them, you know, being exposed to the elements for any serious length of time.
And there is as you said on our last program, weather is an issue. Johannesburg is not a ideal Mediterranean climate. You're more continental there and you're higher elevation, so extremes would be quite high between summer and winter.
What
happened with those first babies that actually came there? I suppose when they started showing up, it was kind of a surprise to the people at the church that people actually were taking advantage of this service to rescue babies.
Yes, and I suppose the first couple of children that did come to us didn't come through the bin. The first child that came to us, Georgina, who we still have a wonderful relationship with, and maybe we can share her story at some point. But her mom actually brought her to us, and we were able to journey with her mom to some degree in that space. Another child that came to us in those early days, he was left out in an open field. Mm. And he actually had tremors from the large trucks that would roll on by. And he would, even for weeks and then after that, he was rescued and saved. He still used to shake and tremor from those sounds and noises that he had literally lying on the side of the road getting sunburnt until a passerby found him and took him to the police. And then he arrived at Door of Hope. But yeah, definitely when mothers started to use the baby box, it certainly was something that we felt, wow, okay, this is actually working, you know.
Yeah.
We believe God has given us this idea and we can see the fruits of it literally coming through the doors.
Yeah.
And that was certainly wonderful. And we've seen that throughout the years as we've had hundreds of children come through the baby box in that time.
Probably get a special honor bracelet for the number of that they are in sequence.
Yeah.
And the numbers now are hundreds and thousands of babies that are rescued through the many different doors of hope that you have through your ministry. And the early babies, when you mentioned Georgina, and the baby, I think the boy you're talking about is probably Nathan.
Yes, that's right.
Now, they were children that Norman Scherer got to meet personally when they first went to visit you all.
That's correct.
At Door of Hope.
Yeah.
And they were the first stories that inspired our Compassion Radio listeners to give.
Yeah.
There are many more Nathans and Georginas coming through the program now that have new opportunities and new life because the Door of Hope exists, because the church took seriously caring for the widow and the orphan. And I imagine in a lot of ways, the women that are abandoning these babies, they feel like widows themselves. They are abandoned.
Yeah.
Or they would never think of abandoning their child or think that it was merciful to do this. But suddenly, there's hope there. That's the whole point of the story, is that they're not abandoning anymore. They're surrendering their child to God's care.
Yeah.
And you have faithful people that are willing to rescue them to do that very thing, to mentor them, to save them. And we're going to talk on the next program about that first 1,000 days, because that's going to be a critical aspect of why Door of Hope is so essential to this kind of problem and how you're inspiring ministries around the world now to do the same thing. But let's talk about the progress in this program, Richard, of going from a ministry that suddenly is an accidental savior because God brought your attention to a need and a problem, to a ministry that focuses on this and has built a credibility with the government, with the police force, with the community, with other churches. Tell me about that progression. When the idea first came, the first babies arrived, to what it is now. What's happened over those 20 years that has transformed you and transformed you personally as a Christian leader and a pastor of children and an apologist for this kind of ministry and your new position as president now of Door of Hope? Give me the rest of the story. From the time we met as a ministry back in the year 2000 to what's happening now, almost in the year 2020, how has God brought Door of Hope forward?
Well, I think it's just an amazing story of God's grace and provision over a work that I believe is ordained by Him, and where there were people of the past who were willing to stand in the gap and to be people of courage and integrity and people of faith to really launch out in the unknown.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you would have told the guys who started it out in the early days, Pastor Cheryl and the leadership, you know, where we would be today, their minds would have been blown.
Yeah.
And they may have even been pretty scared and daunted by it to think, how on earth is that going to happen?
What have we bitten off here?
That's it. Yeah. And yet, as you look back in these coming up to 19 years now, it's just wonderful. And we've really got to just, we can't say it enough, that it all comes down to just God's faithfulness and goodness to the ministry, as we've, I think, really just tried to keep things simple and follow one step at a time, you know, to try and apply our minds and to be faithful in our space as we've operated throughout the years, to say, how can we do things as unto the Lord? How can we work having a culture of excellence, to say, if we're doing this for God, how can we do it to the best of our ability for Him and for the children that we're seeking to serve in His name? And so year on year, there's been this progressive growth and development in terms of cultivating relationships. And I think that's a lot of what it boils down to, is cultivating relationships of integrity and trustworthiness, where we can build these relationships with churches, with missions organizations, even with the government and with business, which has been more of a recent thing, probably in the last 6-7 years, maybe a little bit longer than that, where God has opened up the doors into those areas where we can be a witness and a testimony.
And showing them paths of hope.
That's it.
Because there might be many people who even function in responsible positions within government that have no hope for the future of these issues, that have to turn to people of faith, that have faith that goes way beyond their vision.
Yeah.
And so you're able to speak truth and light into places that might be dark within the hearts of those who are in politics, to give a renewed sense of hope for their own people.
And I think they, in a very real sense, where a lot of them maybe are struggling to find any answers, and the church can come into that space and say, we can find those answers. We can be part of that solution, because we serve a living God, and a God who can give us tremendous wisdom and insight, and where we can bring resources to bear from people who are willing to give selflessly and to live as Jesus calls us to live, not for ourselves, but for the people around us. And so that definitely has been a wonderful thing to see. And even now, as we continue to engage in that space, where we can try and be that sweet-smelling perfume in the world, and where we can be a testimony to the world, they can see the good deeds that God has called us to do and that we are doing. And as it says in Matthew 5, you know, 14 to 16, where we shine as a light and people see those good deeds, but they see that and they say, wow, God is good. And they give Him the glory and honor and praise for that.
And are they doing that? I mean, that's your hope and your ambition, is that people would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How has that played out? Have people actually noticed and changed their whole worldview because of it?
There's no specific story that's coming to mind right now, but I have, as I've engaged with people in these different spaces, you know, a lot of the response we typically get is people saying, wow, I just don't know how you do it. Yeah. You know, they can't comprehend how we would take up a cause like this with all the challenges that come with it.
Richard Allen, thank you so much again for expanding our understanding and our joy over what God's been doing through you in South Africa and the Door of Hope Ministry. We'll look forward to talking to you again tomorrow.
Thank you.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can visit CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478. 2478 or visit CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word GIVE to 53445. That's the word GIVE, G-I-V-E, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. We are so thankful for you. Please be sure to join us again next time for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.